Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
When you choose LG, you're not just getting a TV. You're getting more of everything you love. More entertainment, more innovation, more control. LG TVs are built to do more. With OLED and QNED displays that deliver breathtaking color and contrast. Smart AI-powered features that make streaming, gaming, and searching effortless. And ultra-slim designs that turn your screen into a statement piece. It's performance you can see, technology you can feel, and reliability you can trust. Get more out of every moment at home with LG.
Hello, everyone, and happy March. We're off this week, and hopefully I've done everything I want to do in Resident Evil 9, and I'm tackling my backlog of unpainted miniatures that have been collecting since I started that whole basement renovation years ago. We've got another episode of Never Been a Better Podcast in place of our normal podcast. Never Been a Better Podcast features a rotating crew of Austin Walker, Jeff Bacalar, Dan Reichert, and Abby Russell, as they join me and Alex each month over on the Patreon side of things. This episode originally aired in March of 2023 and features guests Austin Walker and Jeff Bacalar. It's also been slightly edited to include ad breaks. If you want to hear more Never Been a Better Podcast, you can head over to patreon.com/nextlander, where you'll find all the episodes and more. As always, thanks for listening, and we'll be back with the regular Nextlander podcast next week.
And then it went like...
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Never Been a Better Podcast. Now, a lot of people, a lot of the new folks out there might not know that there was once a podcast called The Giant Beast Cast. And on that podcast, there was a crew, a tip of the spear, going out there, making podcasting happening. Making it happening. That's the kind of language we use.
Making it happening?
Making it happening.
What the fuck is that?
And then Alex Navarro, you were there.
The Giant Beast Cast, making it happening.
Jeff Bacalar, you were there making it happening.
I remember. I think I was there.
Austin Walker, you were there making it happening.
The Giant Beast Cast, making it happening.
We are here. Thanks, Austin. Thanks, Jeff, for joining us.
Are you on a t-shirt?
Yeah, making it happening.
Yeah, they probably won't let us put Giant Beast Cast on it. Jeff, can you make that? Can you get that?
No, actually, I think I can do that.
Yeah, you can.
Nobody knows who still owns that.
I don't know. Did that get caught up with Adventures?
No, believe me. Believe me, Alex. I know now.
There's an AI making the Beast Cast right now.
Oh, my God.
Is that RSS in a storage locker in Jersey somewhere in Queens?
It's in Secaucus.
Yeah. It's got a good rate. It's good.
They say, natives say Sea Caucus, by the way.
They say Sea Caucus?
Sea Caucus.
They go no, Sea Caucus.
Do they? What do you mean?
They do. I skate there sometimes. Yeah, I know people who are there.
Three of us have lived in Jersey for many years.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but
and I'm aspiring to it.
Right.
The joke about New Jersey is that you live there your whole life and you haven't heard of 90% of the cities there.
That's because they're every 2 feet is a new every.
It's like a village. I bumped into a village. Look at that.
I started my own. It's great. It's fantastic. Oh, nice. Yeah, yeah.
How's
a lot of people
going?
Think it's Vinny. But it's actually Vinay.
Vinay.
A lot Italian. Of people pronounce it wrong.
Stupid.
Yeah.
It's right next to Pagoda.
Yes, which is a real place.
I know.
Which is definitely a place.
Yeah. That is apparently how they pronounce it there.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
They say so.
Ib Pagoda. I feel like anytime I have a really good memory about a podcast, 95% of the time, it's when it's something from the Beastcast.
And that's saying a lot because you did 8,000 episodes of podcasts?
8,003 episodes, yeah.
At most, we occupy maybe 15 to 20% of your total podcasting bandwidth.
Podcasting.
Podcast. Podcast. Making it happening.
Making it happen. The podcast.
How many? So it was 404 episodes of.
No, it was like
it was a lot.
1700.
You were doing that. Never show that show every day.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah,
every single day.
We just anything to avoid real work was the plan. I mean,
fake it till you make it.
That's why we all got into podcasting,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, it's like,
you know, I would just go in there and pull levers and push buttons and shit, and people would be like, "Where's Becca?" Like, he's working.
That's right.
That's content.
He's doing the thing.
They're making content.
You don't get it.
That was ahead of the curve. You know.
That's when I first
podcasting from your home with a goblet of beer in your hand.
Yeah,
that's right.
How far we've fallen. I gotta say, I fucking hate doing remote podcasting.
You do?
I just gotta say, I hate it.
It's not the same.
It's not the same, but
I don't
miss either.
You had your first podcasting experiences were in person, right? You had a studio, like a lot of us came up without that. A lot of us came up with shitty USB mics. And so for me, when I got to come to the Beastcast studio for that episode, I remember being like, this is a different way to podcast.
Yeah.
This is nice.
Yeah.
It was Lux, you know?
Yeah,
tiny little room we recorded in is Lux. It was very funny, but
it was still a room that was just for that.
Exactly.
Austin, were you there when we had our, well, you saw the CNET studio,
yeah,
but were you there for like the old 404 studio?
Oh, the closet?
The closet.
No. After that, when we had like 1,000 square feet.
No. I don't know. Maybe?
Wait,
I don't know.
You mean the one where you had the big table and the whole studio?
Yeah, so there was two studios.
Yeah.
The fishbowl one, which is where Howie ended,
uh-huh,
when we all left. You guys obviously all saw that.
Yeah.
Because it was in the adjacent room. But that wasn't our studio anymore. But we started out in a room like that. It was that size. In the middle of the office. It was windowless, so no one could peek in. But that's where we were doing the show every day.
Huh. Man, there was a lot of studio space there, considering that we at Giant Bomb had a very little bit of studio in there.
Ooh, mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, look, I'm not responsible for that shit.
Uh-huh.
I'm just saying,
uh-huh,
you know, it used to be all right.
this is a safe place, Jeff. If you want to admit that it was actually all you're doing right now, you can
do
that.
No, I just...
The mastermind.
I remember the politics of the schematics.
Oh, man.
Do you remember that whole thing?
Yes.
Oh, my
God.
They
did not want Giant Bomb there. Let's just say that.
They were just like, what, 200 square feet? What else do you need?
Vinny, I remember one time we got dinner. Because we tried to, after I left, we tried to stay in touch, obviously. And once every quarter, maybe three times a year, we would get together. We'd be like, let's get some lunch. Let's get a beer. Let's catch up. And at one point, you were so upset about the place that Windows had upended. The placement of windows and natural light outside the building had upset your attempt to try to get a little more space for a Giant Bomb studio.
We were close. People probably know this because we probably talked about it. We were close to, like always, this happened in San Francisco too, you know, 10 minutes away from signing a deal on a new place. You know, like there was going to be a new building, and then it was like, there was one space that was like, this would be the perfect studio. And I'm not trying to
everybody has their own things. Yeah.
Everybody's got their own thing, but they're like, no, that's the photography space. And be like, wait, what? No, this big room over here, this giant room. Be like, no, that's got the natural light on like the southern exposure. That needs to be what photography what happens with photography product shots?
You look, you know, like what was going on there.
I never went in that room. All I did was see the bamboo wall. I don't know what was beyond that wall.
Look, a fucking iPhone case is not going to photograph itself.
Okay? Are you sure about that now?
But right now, Res Ventures is trying to figure out how to do that.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
They could make a self self-portrait phone case that takes its own photos.
Yes.
They would do that and replace basically
that's
the
part
entire
of the plan.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. As I'm told, I don't know. I don't work there anymore.
And that's why you're free to have this conversation.
Uh-huh. Yes. Uh-huh. I'm a human and I don't work there anymore.
Oh, that's so sad. Yeah.
It fucking sucks. Just to be clear.
Oh, yeah.
Without a doubt, no one's doubting
sucks.
That. It's fucking a disgrace. Anyway.
Good people who are being replaced by machines.
that don't even work.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
It's is it even being replaced by machines, or is it just like...
That's what makes it so disrespectful to me. It's not just that they're replacing them with software. It's that the software doesn't even work.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, look.
The funny thing is that, like, the ChatGTP is going to have a union before any of those, like, actual real people. Like, the robots are going to get together.
Have just decided that they care more about this thing that's not a person, that they think it's a person because they've been, we've all been taught to, like, get ready for the moment when robots
happen.
Thanks,
William Gibson.
We're like, oh yeah, let's give robots their autonomy. It's not even, it's not doing it. There's no verb happening.
It's not even that impressive, motherfuckers.
No.
It's just autocomplete.
It's just
autocomplete. It's all it is. You dumb bitches.
It's fun.
It's just
autocomplete. Some of it's fun to play
it's
with.
It's fun to fuck it's around to with. If it was just a toy, that's what would be fine, but it's not.
But the speed with which it has become what it is.
Yes.
People should go read. I really recommend people going to read the Ted Chiang ChatGPT is a blurry JPEG of the web, which is an article overall.
Oh, that's
the
a
New
great
Yorker.
Headline.
It's so good. It's like so clarifying for if you don't understand what ChatGPT or other large language model things are doing. It's just like filled with great metaphors that are like, it's like, oh, yeah.
That's Ted. That is that guy's writing, man.
100%.
Listen,
so
do that and don't read some dumbass New York Times reporter who's like, I'm fucking scared of AI. I don't know what's going to happen. Like, shut the fuck up, okay?
Exhausting.
You dumbass. He's like, I'm terrified of this computer. I'm sorry.
The situation has become dangerous and unacceptable.
He's like, I haven't slept in 4 weeks because of something a chatbot said to me. It's like, shut up.
I think we all have in the back of our mind that it's gonna go south, and like people are just anticipating
it's
right?
It's just like one step Skynet. That's right.
The problem is, it turns out, yes, it is gonna go bad, but it's gonna go bad in really mundane ways.
Oh, totally. Yeah. It's gonna go bad in a weird way that, like, it's gonna give you a bad recipe for, like, a bread recipe where it's like, 4 cups of yeast, that doesn't sound right, but I'll go with it.
Uh-huh. Sure, cyanide in this cupcake mix? Uh-huh. What do you mean?
Or like,
wow, this bread recipe got really racist.
Or we were talking about this on, I think, on one of the other podcasts we were doing. The shitty thing is like, oh, I need to go look up on the internet a quick thing of like, where is this other node in Dead Space's remake? And it's like, really, 600 words on this one thing that's like a lot of people are looking for where Dead Space's nodes are. Fucking stop with the. Just you don't need all of this. Just tell me where the map is.
Teaching
it feels
brevity.
Like a monkey paw has curled, right? Because I spent the last decade, I spent saying, like, stop putting stuff in video. And now that it's going to go back to text, it's going to be text that a person didn't write. So it's not going to have the crystal clear clarity of a game fax from 2003.
Right. That's right. That's
exactly.
Right.
The only true language that all language is based off of.
Did you hear this thing that's going, that it's not going around. This is from a little while ago. I follow this really great generative art person. Because here's the actual thing. The people who are like using this stuff for real and who have been using procedural and generative tools for like 5 to 10 years are like really smart about this stuff versus the people who like want to show up and make like big titty anime lady art. You know what I mean? Like the
why
people
you
who like
call me out like that.
Sorry, Vinny. I'm sick of your big titty anime art. You keep sending it to
me. It's not good.
It's not good. If it was good, I'd
be
happy.
Look at this one. Yeah, just this one's
happening.
Medium
talent.
Yeah.
V Buckingham, who's V21 on Twitter, has had the series of tweets last year, at the end of last year, that like froze me in place. They said, it seems very, and again, this is someone who works in this space and has.
Who's this?
This is V Buckingham, V21 on Twitter, V21 on Twitter. It seems very possible that we are now exiting the brief window where a good fraction of all human knowledge was searchable and instantly available. A window that starts with the invention of search engines and ends with the invention of large language models. The Goldilocks period between too hard to access and too hard to discern from bullshit. They would go on to say there is a very real fear among AI researchers that the last big corpuses of human written text have already been captured. All future scrapes of the internet for text to learn from will be contaminated by machine speak. And this is like the big question that the thing that people always talk about with large language stuff is, here's a quick test to see how good the text it produces is. Would you feed it back into the system? Would you would you let it read its own text to learn from? Because you probably won't. Because you know it's wrong in your heart of hearts.
Yeah, yeah.
It's scary. The idea that we're leaving behind this golden window of the peer of the internet is so frightening to me.
I mean, also that to have thought of the last 10 years as the best days of the internet is
oh my God.
Also frightening. It'd be I can show you exhibit A through triple A looping back around the alphabet and be like,
It got bad.
But yeah, you're right. Like everything, it's going to be, again, we talked about this before, but like photocopies of photocopies of photocopies, right? Of just like, of scrapes, especially when it's like this stuff, and it kind of is now, right? Is so ubiquitous. Is so accessible. Is so like, oh, you will never know again if you are chatting or reading something that a human touched or wrote or,
we will know because we will remember what it was like to talk to actual people on the internet. The people who are younger than us, they're not going to know.
This next generation, yeah.
I feel like we need, we got to have like a secret handshake for like humans that need to start having like that, like the real cool people with
us. IRL CAPTCHA. Is that what you want?
Yes.
Yeah.
A human CAPTCHA.
That's right.
I'm going to send a picture. Bring me 3 boats now.
Hurry. Which one of my hands is blurry?
Yeah. Like when you're on like a service call or something with somebody, be like, tell me your favorite food. Tell me your favorite. Give me.
You're inventing the Voight Kampff test, Vinny.
Yeah, totally. Exactly. Yes. Right. You see a turtle. I'm sorry, sir. Is your modem working? No. You see a deer who's been hit by an arrow. Like, what do you do?
I just want to return this memory that doesn't work. Please help me.
Tell me more about your memories. Yeah. What's your earliest memory? Right. I truly do try not to be like a doomer about this stuff because I think that we're all so very resilient as a species,
because at the same time, Austin, you're right, the same energy is the energy that I was talking about with like the New York Times guy freaking out, exactly. Right, like
it's a tool that humans will learn to live, like, you know, I would almost guarantee that when photography came out, you know, people were scared. When electricity came out, people were scared. But when photography came out, a lot of portrait artists were like, shit.
Yeah, but
we don't use Zeppelins anymore. Yeah, you don't know when you're getting into the Hindenburg. Until it's on fire.
Check this shit out. It's fireproof. It doesn't heat up. Like, what do you call it? I think asbestos. I'm going to call it that. I think it's going to be good. Or like, hey, did you know if you paint the face of a clock in this glow-in-the-dark radioactive material, you could see it at night? Be like, sure, let's put your radium on everything. That sounds great.
I'm going to put that shit on my gums. Let's go.
Yeah.
The thing is, it gets scary when it's stuff that doesn't have the immediate physical effect, and when we live in a moment where, like, good luck taking it off the market, you know what I mean? I guess, like, my secret hope is at this point the EU, the same thing with like GDRP, where they're like, hey, now we're still a real government, make some rules and say you can't just go wild with this shit.
But even that, now I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but even that stuff where it's like, hey, you have to disclose and you cannot just cookie the shit out of everybody. Turn fucking south so quickly where now you just get that prompt that's just like, so you can hit a button that says accept cookies right now and just to trust that we're good, or hit the check out everything. And as soon as you hit the like, well, let me look at what you're doing. Oh, everything's turned off. No, we're good. I turned everything off with the super stuff. Like, you get that blockade every website now where it's like, you guys couldn't just fucking figure out a better way to do this.
You couldn't make it so that when I say I don't want to be tracked, you remembered that, and then no, because that would be remembering something. So
I can't do that. No. And I'm sure when you hit I trust you. I'm sure you're turning everything else off. Like, yeah. So like companies find a way to mess everything up. You know, corporations will monetize and figure it out and be wrong about it. But I do. There are amazing things about where some of this stuff is headed. I think in accessibility areas, it's going to be amazing, you know, helping people who have struggled with, you know, writing or all of those areas.
You know, for me, a lot of the stuff really comes down to like, where'd you get your information or your data set, right?
It's humans it's bad.
Totally. And I think there's a version of like the digital AI art where, like, if you said, hey, we're going to do like a really cool project, I'm going to pay, you know, 30 artists to help me create a data set that then we're going to generate stuff from. That's a lot different than just like, yeah, we scraped ArtStation and stole a bunch of art and are using that in that way. Which again, when you go look at the people who are making generative stuff, that is the version of it that they're doing. They're creating their own data sets, or they're finding open source data sets and are playing with it in that way. But eventually you get the Stable Diffusion out there and they're like, no, you just do whatever you want. Go wild. Like the tech is here. We're going to use it this way. You know,
was it Getty Images sued them, right? Because like one of their, the images just said pretty much a blurry Getty Images in the corner. It's like, where did that come from? Oh, you know, you scrape enough stuff, it'll generate any kind of words on there. Right. Like, who knows?
There was a lot of art that was showing up that had like, signatures in the course, right? Like, I do believe in the technology in a lot of different ways. I think you, just like medicinally, you know, I think like there's already interesting stuff with like dermatological applications. We're screening for melanoma and like super advanced sort of. I mean, look, at the end of the day, you want the opinion of a billion doctors, not just one, right? So that is an easily sort of useful use case, I think, for stuff like that.
I will say, like, one of the coolest use cases I have found for like ChatGPT or language models like that is when I was writing D&D bios for my kids.
Sure.
It has all of the source books already known, and it can pull in source stuff that's just like, oh, that's cool. Like, I'm going to incorporate some of that stuff that you mentioned into mine.
That is like my favorite example of this stuff working for me in a way that I was like genuinely really cool with was some friends and I fucked around with AI Dungeon last year or maybe 2 years ago, which I don't know. Have y'all ever, are you familiar
with
that?
I've seen it. It's like a
slightly more, I mean, I think it runs on GPT-3 and I don't actually know off the top of my head what it if it has like a special sub model, and I fell off of it, so I guess I don't actually know what else is there or like how it's changed in the last year. But it would do, you could straight up do like a role playing game session with it being the GM in that way. And our favorite thing to do would be to be like, and then we found a book that has like the best tips to being a thief. And it would have to generate like the top 10 tips to being a thief. And those were always really funny because they were, it comes back to that thing of like, they're like very blurry JPEGs. Like they're very like, that almost sounds really smart. That
lots
almost
of people
sounds
are
like a
looking
real thing.
For the top 10 things to being a thief.
Exactly. That's right. I'll have to find that list and read it.
My favorite AI is when it is just a more than a hair broken. That's my favorite. Right.
Yep.
That's my current favorite. Like
the Jang.
Like the Midjourney photos that come back with too many fingers or like or screaming faces that are just like, oh no, that's not right.
It's going to kill me. Someone made the point that was like when the art stuff first started hitting and every day there was like a new, very funny AI generated thing. They said, would any of this work if you didn't get to read what the prompt was, because the prompt is a punchline.
Yes,
and like that's, and it's like, no, that's it. Like that's what's happening here is we're seeing a very funny interpretation of a very straightforward prompt. And that's cool. That's like a fun thing to do. But that's, again, if it stopped there, I don't think we'd have any complaints, you know? Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. That genie's not going back in the bottle.
That's exactly it.
And so there, and don't, I would not trust on at least the US government to catch up anytime soon. Yeah. I've been showing my kids like some of the goofs that are happening with voice AI stuff, like Joe Biden playing Overwatch or whatever it is. The less sweary ones.
Oh, you mean the stuff that is absolutely going to ruin this country in about a year?
Well, yes, but they need to be exposed and be like, and have a conversation, be like, this is all fake. You need to know, like, and as
Joe
we get
Biden
all the-
is not on that loud shit. If you hear him tell you that he is on that loud and that mids are loud to him. That's not real.
He did just say for real that he imported more pills than anybody else, right?
He did say that.
That's, I mean,
some of that stuff's very funny, though.
It's
empirically funny.
That stuff is pretty funny, but like, and it's getting, I feel like it gets better by the hour. Like, you just see a better one come out every hour.
For whatever reason, Biden is the best one.
It's
because that's the most. Like,
there's plenty of Trump. There's plenty of Obama
out
there.
But Trump is so much inflection is the problem. Yeah. Like, Trump, you can get the voice tone right, But the punchline is the way he says everything, which an AI cannot quite figure out. Joe Biden is borderline monotone, and that is why yes. it works, because he doesn't really emote that much.
Right.
And I also think anything you make Trump say is not crazy. Like it's not nutty enough. Yeah. Like you could literally right. have him say anything,
even
and you're just like, oh yeah.
Right? Remember yeah. The one dude who did like that incredibly killer Trump impersonation a few years ago?
The one that wasn't James Adomian.
I don't know the guy.
Yeah,
James
Adomian is the comedian. The SNL dude does an astonishingly good yeah. one.
He understood that like Trump talking about Scooby-Doo
yes.
works because it has the right completely left field drawing yeah. connections between things that don't make any sense.
Literally bebopping that. Through language.
Literally, exactly, yeah. right? Finding that rhythm. Whereas like it's not just enough to like get your voice up into his right. range, and you know? So I feel like if they wrote those AI Trumps better, they would find them, but it's hard to write Trump.
This is present day Vinny again. We'll be back with more Never Been a Better Podcast after this quick break.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
When you choose LG, you're not just getting a TV, you're getting more of everything you love. More entertainment, more innovation, more control. LG TVs are built to do more. With OLED and QNED displays that deliver breathtaking color and contrast. Smart AI-powered features that make streaming, gaming, and searching effortless. And ultra-slim designs that turn your screen into a statement piece. It's performance you can see. Technology you can feel, and reliability you can trust. Get more out of every moment at home with LG.
My point being that, like, if we burn out early here or like really light the flame on like, hey, don't trust any of this stuff is mostly goofs. Listen, nobody trusts anything anymore anyway. There's no source of any. There's no ombudsman of right. the internet, right?
Have we talked about the Cyberpunk version 3 world building that I love? So Cyberpunk 2077 is based on a tabletop role-playing game called Cyberpunk 2020. The sequel to Cyberpunk 2020, also written by Mike Pondsmith, is called Cyberpunk, you know, version 3 or 3.0 or something like that. It's kind of a hideous book. All of the art in it is like bad green filtered photographs of like action figures dressed up like cyberpunks. But it's this post cyberpunk setting, which is to say, I mean, it's not post cyberpunk in the way like Ghost in the Shell is. It's post cyberpunk in a different way. It's very interested in like solar stuff and in genetic modifications and stuff. But one of the core premises of the world is, one, there was a paper eating like disease that destroyed all the paper in the world.
Okay.
Very cool. Goofy, but cool. Uh-huh. Two, I think the same person who released that like virus into the physical thing into the world also released a computer virus that made copies of everything that's on the internet and changed a detail about it. So like there are 1,000 videos of Nixon resigning, and in some of them he pulls out a gun, and in some of them he's wearing a tutu. So the idea of truth has been eradicated in the future, and everything now, if you put a new thing out, you get a veracity index, which is if you believe something is true, you can hit a button to say, I believe it's true. And that adds a point to its veracity index.
It's like crowdsourcing it's truth.
Truth. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And this was written in 2007. And I was like, this is the coolest thing ever. And then it bombed because it was not a great game. And then, unfortunately, when they made Cyberpunk 2077, they were not interested in any of that shit. They just want like the regular Cyberpunk 2020 stuff, you know, plus their particular brand of humor. So
what was the recent like dystopian sci-fi story where it was like half the country was convinced that this sort of event happened and they all like migrated to Utah to like,
oh, what is this? I don't know this.
There's always that like one little slice of detail where you're like, oh, well, that's definitely happening.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right, yeah, yeah.
Like, that, like, And it is upsetting that we continually sort of like chase dystopian fiction. Like we seem to like once that idea gets manifested and put out into the ether, there's like this inevitable chain of events that will lead us inevitably to like arriving at that awful thing that was cooked up in the mind of some, you know, sci-fi author.
Or is the world like. Just filled with, is it the thing of like, if you hit a golf ball, it's going to land on some piece of grass, but you don't know which piece of grass, yeah. But it's definitely going to land. So there's like 1,000 other crackpot totally. Sci-fi stories, and we just don't hit those, yeah. But...
Why does somebody be like, yeah, man, I made this cool AI. I'm going to call it Skynet, right? Or like, I'm going to name my company Pharmacom. Like, what? No, what are you doing? Haven't you seen Johnny Mnemonic? Be like, no, they're the bad guys. What are you doing?
Is that better
or
worse?
Cool name.
Yeah, is that better or worse than like the Plantir, the crystal orb from Lord of the Rings being used for like, secure, like, you know, drone warfare.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
none of it's good.
Like, no, don't be like, hey, I got my new surveillance thing. What are you gonna call it? Eye of Sauron.
Right, I mean,
I'm saying
they sometimes do it the other way, right? Where it's like Andoril, the name of Aragorn's sword. And it's like, you don't get that.
No, that's not yours.
Well, I trademarked it, so yeah, I do get to have it.
That's right. Fight me on it. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I think sometimes. Maybe that stuff just sounds cool, and you're like, you're starting a tech company, you got billions of dollars.
I mean, these guys all just think they're the good guys, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Yes.
None of these people are ever stopping and saying to themselves, are we the baddies?
No, not once.
No.
You know, I think some of them start with good intentions, and then it's just like, you can't, once you realize it's out of your hands, what are you going to do? Like, I always feel like, and I don't know if this is true, I feel like this is a Brad question. Like, Wozniak was like, This is going bad. Like, I
get that vibe, right?
Well, there's a reason why all those guys, when they inevitably, you know, run into the brick wall that is the current VC-funded tech industry, run the other direction as fast as they fucking can. Like, they all either completely retreat from any sort of public anything because there's no fun, there's nothing worthwhile to be had there. Or, you know, they spend some time trying to fight the machine in some way or another and inevitably give up and just say, well, I'm just going to give away whatever money I can. Because there's no haven for people like that in the current tech industry. There's no value for them because they are not willing to provide value for the machine the way that all the really awful people are.
What's Jack doing these days? What's Jack up to?
I'm Twitter not sure Jack? I want to know.
Yeah, Twitter Jack.
What is Twitter Jack? He's climbing a mountain. Oh, he's
he was starting a new thing, wasn't he?
He's starting a new thing that I think is tied into AI in some way, right? AI, yeah, quote
of course
unquote.
It is.
Okay.
I forget what it's called.
Are NFTs dead?
So every once in a while, they bubble back to the surface like a bad rash, but that's about it.
Okay. Jeff, you're right, though, right? They're big in Japan still, right? The discourse never hit there in the same way.
I think it's cooling a little bit, but... I saw some weirdness of like, yeah, they still like advertise NFTs a good amount over there. Can't get everything right, I guess.
You know what, sorry, it is the thing that Jack Dorsey is working on is like a blockchain social network.
I still think blockchain is an interesting tech, you know. Like,
it is. If it wasn't attached to all the bullshit, be like, huh, right? You know,
on its own, it's an you know, and also like, you know,
in a vacuum,
The weird environmental stuff that you know came up of like people, you know, basically having small city states that were just running the video card stuff that all happened and all that stuff. But like, it's an interesting technology. Is crypto is like still kicking around? Like, I don't really keep track, but you know,
I think so.
Yeah. Like, do people still invest in it?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It has begun to fade. There's a little bit, lots of rug pulls. There have been lots of people losing their money.
Still
lots
happening.
Of exchanges that have turned out to be scams.
Yeah. I think a lot of it reined in because you had all these exchanges getting kind of regulated. And absorbed into like normalcy.
It got boring.
But yeah, it's more boring now.
Yeah. It got boring.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, there are people who are still investing and still fucking throwing money at these things, and they all subscribe to Twitter Blue.
Right.
Okay.
But like, yeah. You just there's always going to be scams and
yeah.
What was that crowdfunded thing that we talked about like for 8 hours on various Beastcasts? The Coleco Chameleon.
Yeah, yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah, everyone's going to get chameleoned every now and then. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. People are going to get chameleoned. Exactly. Yeah,
yeah. That thing come out?
I don't.
Oh, stop!
Did it? Maybe it came out. What if it's good?
I thought it.
We're talking about the Telerico thing, right?
No. Sorry. Aren't there two different things? Wait, there's
yes,
two different things.
Yes,
there's
we're talking about
things.
Intellivision, and we're talking about Chameleon.
The Coleco Chameleon was different.
That is
remember
different.
The Coleco Chameleon. There was all that stuff with like the dude was buying a house secretly with Kickstarter money or something.
Dude,
the Tommy Telerico one was just. More traditional Tommy Tallarico stuff.
Yeah. Oh, like just okay.
It was an
H-bomber
old school
guy
scam,
make a
not
video
a new
about
school
it.
Scam.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes. Exactly.
Since we brought his name up and we're talking about scammers, why is Tommy Tallarico? Why did we ever let him happen?
He was a musician, wasn't he?
So this is the thing. You should watch this video, Vinny, that H-bomber guy put out.
Oh my God.
It's incredible.
It is so good just because how the downward spiral that just sort of like erupts out of this video. It's almost like a Charlie Kaufman movie.
it really is.
Tommy Tallarico was involved in video games live, right?
Yes, that was part
and
of his
you know
thing.
What?
Yeah.
That's true. That okay. part of it, 100% yeah. true.
Right.
Where did they play? How many people watched them play yeah. live? I have
like
some
how
questions.
How popular were yeah. they? We don't know.
I'm not sure exactly what happened between that and retro consoles, but
you should really watch the H-Bomber Guy video. It's a feature-length video.
It's long. I know it's hard to find time.
It's a movie.
There's a lot of like using his name to... take credit for things that people who worked for him did. Mm-hmm. And then there's lots of like getting Guinness World Records on technicalities. And
it's
wild.
This seems like it will strange. Probably bolster my point here, which is that Tommy Tallarico is in fact on cinema Tim Heidecker for video games.
But 100%.
But like real.
But for real.
Yes, but real. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Not kayfabe. Like truly, yeah. really like that.
Like we haven't gotten to the trial of Tommy Tallarico yet,
right.
but I feel like that is on
oh,
the horizon.
It's coming. Yeah.
It's coming, baby. Uh-huh. Yeah. Like, and for that reason, like, he must be left uncompromised. Like, we must not interfere.
You're right. I won't say another word about Tommy Tallarico until it's
no,
all said
I'm just
and
saying,
done.
Like,
I'm just saying, I don't want him passing bad drugs to people at Video Games Live. I don't want him to have to go on murder trial for that. Those kids don't deserve to die just because I want to see the Schadenfreude.
Bond cinema is so, like, criminally undervalued. But yeah,
it's one of those things that exists in this moment. Like this is the part of the last 10 years of the internet have been good, right?
Right.
Is that you can have niche things like on cinema, or basically everything that Heidecker has been part of since being in the public face. Small things like the Beast Cast, where it's like, hey, it's big, but it ain't Tom Cruise big. You know what I mean? It ain't Hollywood big.
Sure.
But it's big enough, right? this never been a better podcast. It's big enough. Yeah. I'd like it to be bigger, obviously. but it's big enough for it
Tell
to matter
friends.
To people. And that's part of this like golden era of the internet, I think, is you can get to something like sustainability at a lower level than what you would have needed in the 90s in terms of an audience reach.
Oh, sure.
You know? I mean, I guess in the 90s, the equivalent would be like if we had a radio station.
Totally. Yes.
They should give us one.
They should give us one.
But also, very much like on cinema, we also now are at the stage of our life where we are just offering a subscription service to continue enjoying our content.
Yes. Yeah. So I think some of that I think is great because you can reach people and go direct transaction, right? You can be like, hey, we're going to cut the middleman out. And like, you don't need to have, LG advertise on a radio show to keep this thing in business, where we don't have to like cater to these sponsors. If you want to support us and keep it going, you can. I think that model is interesting. I think it's been subverted a bit when it takes the place of like a healthcare system and you're like, oh, like we just do it's okay if your premiums are too high, just go do a GoFundMe campaign, right? And like, well, that's the way people like, that's not what I don't think that's a reasonable path forward.
Ever tell you, it was actually on the trip that I interviewed for the to come work at Giant Bomb. I was in New York for a labor conference, like a labor academia conference, and I was presenting with some people on some stuff about the entertainment industry labor guilds up in Canada. And we were doing like a shared presentation roundtable with this group from one of the Nordic countries. I forget which one specifically. And their whole presentation was like about how sick the gig economy was. And these are all like fairly left-leaning people in this room. It's academia. There's a natural lean to the left inside of these space. It's a labor conference, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you're not going to get people who go in there are like anti-regulation, generally speaking.
Self-selecting like, crowd. Yeah.
Those are happening in, you know, economy or, you know, economics conferences. That's where those people are. But in a labor conference, you get the other thing. And the Canadians and Americans in the room were like, are y'all really here telling me that Uber is the future of labor? And eventually we like had to hash it out. And what came out of the conversation was like, oh, y'all have a strong social safety net. You have good unemployment. You have nationalized health care. And so, like, yes, gig work fits in, opens up the possibility for a bunch of different ways of living that were not available before. You know, maybe you're unemployed, but you can get a little extra earning cash or spending cash by driving a car a little bit. Maybe you're a gig employee in the more traditional sense of, like, literally being a gig musician. And the laws that allow for gig musicians to earn XYZ were really good in the country because ABC. And it's like, that just doesn't exist here because here you need health insurance, buddy.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Where your basic needs are being met.
Yep.
Where you're not going to be like, well, if I don't have this full-time job, I can't afford health insurance. Mm-hmm. Right. Like that's right. It's a very different.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it's funny. My brother who lives in Australia, who might be listening to this. Hi.
Shout out.
You know, it's interesting when I hear him talk about things, you know, and he talks about the healthcare system there and stuff. But there's not a sense of being handcuffed to places where it's like, you know, oh, you know, I know a lot of people who switch jobs or do this, or like this person's taking a year off. Take a year off. Be like, what are you talking about? Well, like, you know, they save that money and they have their rent paid. And it's like, what about health insurance? What about this stuff? And it's like, oh, no, that you know, you're in the system.
Sabbatical?
Yeah, it's very different. I mean, listen, everybody listening to this probably, you know, you don't have to explain.
These are new ideas.
Yeah, no. These are new ideas.
We may have talked about them here before, but.
I was just talking to somebody about Social Security stuff. And it was like, man, could you imagine? I don't think they're going to do this, but you know, all the talk that's been going around about raising the age of Social Security and all the, if they just did it for people who are already in the system, like that's going to be the thing that's going to tip off like World War III or like a civil war in this country. It's not going to be like all the horrible race stuff or all the like, anything. It's going to be like, they raised the fucking Social Security age from 67 to 70. Carol, where's my gun?
Well, you saw what happened in France, right? They tried to raise the retirement age in France, and everybody got mad.
Yeah.
We don't have it like France in this one way, you know, truly. We don't have the take to the streets the way we need to sometimes.
It might happen, though. Like,
touch it.
That's what I think. The only way they could do it is, like, my kids, right? Before they start paying in, they kind of bump it up.
Right.
But, like, if they did it...
No, like, my dad, all he talks about anymore is, like, Three more years. Yeah, I'm retiring. Like, I'm putting money away. Like, if they take that from him, I don't know. I don't know what he'll do.
Right. Yes. That is going to be like just people pouring out of like, I've never marched for anything in my life, but these 3 years, I can't do another fucking 2 years on the line.
The streets will run red with the blood of those who dare to try to raise that age gap.
Which is like, it's one of those things too, where I don't think you get it until you're in it a little bit. You know, I think if you had asked me a decade ago about moving the retirement age 5 years or 3 years, I'd be like, three more years.
Right.
You know, whatever.
Yeah.
Right. Whatever.
Nah. Uh-uh. No.
And it's
absolutely
like, you
know, not.
And it's like, you know, Social Security, it helps, right? It's like, I don't think anybody, it's not like, oh, like you're going to retire. And like, if you didn't do any save money or you're golden, right? It's like a buffer between, you know, keeping your house or your
yeah, we'll
mortgage.
Still let you die.
Right.
You know?
As a
culture, we'll still just let you out for the
happily,
rules.
Happily.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, you pay into it and then you're supposed to get it out. So it's not even like, oh, it's just free. You know, like,
right.
That's what I think, like, people would just be like, oh, say what? Mm-hmm. Like human rights stuff and all that other stuff.
Roads,
it was just
trains. I'm not on trains anyway.
Trains, poison in the air and in the water, all that stuff. I'm sorry, what, 18 more months? No. I cannot deal with Janice for 18 more months.
Yeah, all of a sudden, everyone has, like, fucking common sense all of a sudden, right? All of a sudden, there's clarity, 20/20 vision across the board, both aisles.
You see, like, Fox News and CNN shaking head, doing, like, a report together, and be like, we've joined forces on this special report.
What if the Dilbert guy is there for some reason?
Yeah.
I can get us to a lighter place.
Okay, please.
Yeah. You mentioned the Dilbert guy. Okay. It's not, but Dilbert is a comic strip.
Yeah.
Dilbert is a comic strip. You know what else is a comic strip?
What?
It's Calvin and Hobbes.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Did y'all hear the news that Bill Watterson's putting a book out later this year?
Oh, boy. Is it got some really strong political views?
I mean, I don't know. That's the mystery. I would say that's the mystery. It's actually called The Mysteries is actually what it's called. What have you read?
I've read interviews with Bill Watterson in recent years, and he does not seem like he is a shithead.
Okay.
He seems like he is exactly the guy you think he is.
Okay. Someone who like was very successful and then like got his payday and was like, you know what? I did a good body of work. Peace. I'm out.
Yeah, I don't have to do this anymore.
Love that for him.
Yeah.
He's only 64.
Yeah. So he's putting out this book that the premise is in a fable for grown-ups by cartoonist Bill Watterson, a long-ago kingdom is afflicted with unexplainable calamities. Hoping to end the torment, the king dispatches his knights to discover the source of the mysterious events. Years later, a single battered knight returns.
Mm.
Which
oh,
is like
it's not
from
Calvin and Hobbes.
No.
It's not Calvin and Hobbes.
That's cool.
Except interesting. What if it is?
Except what if it is? Yeah.
Ooh.
Uh-huh.
What if is what Calvin occupies his mind with now in adulthood?
Okay. Oh.
I'm very curious. So,
is it like coming out soon?
Yeah, later this year.
Oh, that's
it's like
awesome.
October, yeah. I think.
Yeah. Okay, is it a graphic novel?
It is a graphic novel with like very. I'll send you the like. There's a Polygon story that has some like excerpts from it, or some like you know a couple pages basically. The art is cool. It's all like black and white. Like I don't know if it's charcoal or what. There's a picture of a wizard listening to like some sort of space radio. Which I think is personally, I think that's cool to me. So yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I like things to look forward to.
Yes.
You know, I like having a thing where I'm like, I don't think this is going to be bad. I think it's going to be good. And I can look forward to it. It'll help me get through the week.
Like me and Dilbert Unleashed. The thing that really bums me out about every time that guy says and does something stupid, which is a lot, is that he kind of looks like my dad.
Oh,
so every time I see his dumb fucking face, it's like, God damn it. For a second, I have to do the mental check. It's like, oh no, what did my dad do? Nothing. Thankfully, he didn't get racist this time.
The thing about that fucking brain dead idiot is like...
I love that. Okay. I just briefly, I am, on paper, like radically to the left, probably of most people. But when I come on here, I do my best to pull like, okay, there's a wide listening audience, you know, Republicans buy sneakers too, like Michael Jordan said. So I'm going to speak my mind, but I'm going to dial it back. And then Jeff is like that fucking idiot.
Yeah.
That piece of shit. I've been out of Jersey
like every
too
time
long.
He talks, he that's the dude who just loves the smell of his own farts. Do you know
oh,
what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, I do. I
like,
do.
That's the dude who's just like, I fucking just said something so insightfully brilliant. No one's ever thought the thought that I just thought.
No one's ever farted the fart that I just farted.
He's one of those guys who got way into the idea of like mental manipulation as like a business tactic. Like a guy who thinks he can literally implant ideas in your brain.
I did not know any of this about the Dilbert guy.
He's bad. He's bad.
Okay. He did a round. He did a round.
Okay. He's like bad in such a way, but he's like not good at it. And so like they didn't really let him in. You know what I mean? You know how like there's like the clubhouse of all.
You know
how hard it is not to get into that.
You have to be. They let that guy from Long Island who lies all the time into that club.
Yeah,
they're not going to let this guy in. Was that you?
Yeah, that was me. Is Dilbert still a cartoon strip somewhere?
It just got delisted from a bunch of places, like last week.
Did something happen? I'll do some.
He went on maybe the worst racist rant he has gone on before.
Okay.
Yeah, this is a racism thing, if I remember correctly.
Jeez, okay.
It was.
I just like that the tie goes up. That's funny.
That's,
you should have stuck to that.
Here's the thing. When I was like 12, I thought Dilbert was funny because I was an annoying nerd and I didn't have any real friends. And so therefore it spoke to me.
Yeah.
And that's who Dilbert is for.
Yes. But I think Dilbert predates like Office Space in a weird way. You know, like,
did I think Dilbert there's a little was bit of that. Cool? Because I thought he was like Drew Carey from the Drew Carey Show.
Sure. Yeah.
Is that what happened in my little brain?
I never thought Dilbert was cool. I always thought Dogbert was cool.
Dogbert cool. kind of looks like the Adventure Time dog, right? Is that?
Yeah, they're both squat kind of dogs.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jake is 1,000 times cooler, but
I mean, yes, that's when it's going to break our hearts, right? Or is it going to be the moment that we are on the other side of this and we've gotten old? It's like when a Pendleton Ward or one of like the our generation, you know, Scott Adams, is that his name, the Dilbert guy?
Yeah.
Is like, you know, he doesn't represent our tastes or our you know,
no.
That was running when we were younger people. But like the Pendleton Wards or people who make the sort of cool stuff that we like turn out to be real shitheads. That's going to hurt more, I think.
Present day Vinny here again for one final ad break before we wrap up the show. I hope you're enjoying it. Never been a better podcast. We'll be back right after this.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Is Gary Larson a piece of shit? What's up? He's can't
no, I think
be.
He's
There's
fine.
No way.
I think he's probably
he's
fine.
Probably
is
awesome,
he dead?
Right?
Is he dead?
No, I think he's still alive. He's
is he
retired.
Sure? Somebody check on Gary Larson.
Gary,
I think
come in,
good
Gary.
Old Gary.
Are you there, Gary Larson?
Gary.
I think he like put out a couple new cartoons last year.
You sure it wasn't AI?
I think he like updated the website or something.
That's great. That's
he,
great.
You know? You saw a 2023 calendar for the Far Side, and it was like, he's got to be putting them out.
They re-released the calendars. That was always like the big thing. I'm sure that's where he made a lot of his money.
Oh, yeah.
You're right, Jeff. In 2020, he released a new section of the Far Side website titled New Stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
He's like, I'm bored.
What are the cows doing now?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, good for Gary Larson. I really thought she had passed away. That's good. How about Doonesbury guy? Is Doonesbury guy okay? Was Doonesbury guy ever okay?
I don't know. So in it. You know what I mean? Like, I think the politics...
Dan Quayle's a feather. Don't you get it?
Yeah. I think it just runs through him. Do you know what I mean? I don't know if he's a conduit for the Beltway. Like,
let's just go through all these cartoonists. Like, did the High and Lowest guy join ISIS? What happens?
Uh-huh. What did you guys read? Like Sunday
What's
comics.
What's Bill Keane doing? Who did he murder?
Yeah. I read comics a bunch, man. Yeah. Sunday mornings, Dad comes home with like literally 4 inches worth of like stacked newspapers.
Yeah. Oh wow, really? We just had Newsday. That was our Long Island newspaper.
Yeah. I just read a wild history of the Dick Tracy like comic strip, which I never read. It was never in my local thing. But did you know that became like a outer space comic book for a comic strip for a little while?
That's cool.
And then Dick Tracy has like a daughter-in-law who's half alien. And then the thing that's wild about it is basically it's a generational thing. When it started, it was like he was a noir detective with some cartoon villains. You know what I mean? The Warren Beatty movie version of this, right?
Hamburger face.
Exactly. But then the space race happened. And so the initial cartoonist was like, oh, I got to update Dick Tracy. He used to become a space cop now and go to the moon and da 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 da. And so that all happens. But then the next generation of fans are like, I hate this moon shit. Go back to what it was when I was a kid, when he was the regular detective. And eventually one of those people took over the comic strip and tried to like soft retcon all that stuff. So he like killed off the daughter-in-law who was a lunar like princess and then had her memories implanted into a regular human so she wouldn't have to be an alien anymore. Truly wild shit. Big
That's
fan.
Great.
And that only happens in comic strips. Do you know what I mean?
Because
they run for 70 years or whatever, you know?
Am I wrong?
Probably.
Or did Warren Beatty recently appear?
Yes.
as Dick Tracy in a way to sort of like publicly renew his ownership.
He did it once like 10 to 12 years ago as well.
Dude, his copyright, his trademark.
I thought this was a dream. I thought this was actually
like a Zoom call, I want to say. Didn't he do as Dick Tracy self-interviewing himself?
And what? Then also, I think like Ben Schwartz and fucking Leonard Maltin were there for some reason.
Really?
Yeah.
They're buddies.
My man is like 97.
I'm not going to let it go.
And he's like, this IP, baby.
All the way to the top.
Here's the thing. If I'm Warren Beatty, I'm clinging on to that shit like grim death. Like, what? Why would you? I mean, unless someone comes along and is like, I'm going to give you $1 billion to make the next Dick Tracy. Why would you ever let that go?
It's,
I guess.
How was that movie? I saw that movie when it was in theaters, but I was
enjoyed it. I think it's good.
I haven't watched it in a while. The last time I watched it, I remember at least really enjoying the art design.
Yeah, I think Al Pacino's pretty good in it. I think like
Madonna.
Madonna's not great, but she never is.
Yeah, but like, you know, I think that, I don't know, I feel like I've seen that movie in the last 5 years and it's okay. I do remember the hand-drawn scenery stuff was a big deal when it came out in the what was it, 90? 90. 91, something like that?
Is that Warren Beatty's most memorable role? Like,
God, I hope
no.
Can't be.
First of all,
right?
There's Bullworth out there, so absolutely not.
Yeah, and he's Bonnie and Clyde. Like, that's
do we care about that stuff?
Or like, come on.
No, we don't care about Bonnie and Clyde.
Bonnie Clyde's
but like,
good. Bonnie Clyde's fine.
But it is a good movie. Yeah. Like,
I mean, it's no Bullworth, but what is?
Alex, I also went to Bullworth, which is really just we're both children of the same.
Yes.
Like music.
We were both
era.
17 in 1998 or whatever. You know. Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Dick Tracy in a long, long time. I haven't read a Sunday Funnies in a long, long time.
You should just go pick up this week's and see what's going on.
What's out there.
I don't even know what paper to go. Like the New York Times, I don't think has a Sunday Funnies.
You're in North Jersey, right? Is the Star Ledger still
Asbury Park Press.
Yeah, I don't know what's still around anymore.
No
honestly.
Idea.
I saw a really in-depth recently analysis of Heathcliff in its current state and just like the
weird
Dadaist fucking nature of the whole thing. And
it's still going?
It's still going and Heathcliff? It is so weird.
That's cool. I like when
you
stuff
would
really
not,
goes off
I,
the rails.
So my only relationship with Heathcliff as a kid was the cartoon, mm-hmm. which I thought was bad. And I was like, Garfield is good and Heathcliff is bad.
It was always the Hydrox of Orange Cat cartoons.
Yes, 100%. But that is not the case for the comics. The daily Heathcliff comic is just a... I'm going to send this.
It's probably one of the ones I saw, and it is truly baffling stuff.
Tell everyone the meat tank is back. And then it's Heathcliff.
That's it. Single panel, baby. That's the
single
joke.
Single panel. It's a tank that says meat. Heathcliff has a helmet on that says meat.
Meat, yeah.
The meat shop is in the back.
It
What's
says
going
meat.
On?
The meat shop says meat on the sign and then says
oh,
meat
this
in
is
the
weird.
Window. And then it says meat on a flag. So,
see, this feels like this feels like AI.
I'm majorly okay, so that's the thing. I'm majorly paraphrasing this because it was a long Twitter thread that was analyzing this stuff. But the basic gist of it is Heathcliff is never actually telling you jokes. It is literally just commenting things on the truly insane world that it has built for itself. And it never really pokes fun at it so much as it just gestures at it and says,
yes.
Yo, yes, this is a world with a meat tank that is piloted by an orange cat.
Uh-huh.
That's it.
This is cool.
An image
what
of
we got?
Heathcliff driving by in this big ham and two people commenting, that's the new electric ham.
Oh, see, this is just like cut and paste. Like, this is really weird.
But so that,
it's the same comic.
And so the criticism I read also mentioned like the Far Side Cow Tools, like notorious comic, and saying this is an entire strip that is just cow tools every day.
Yep. 100%. This is a co-host.
That's all it was.
Post.
It was just
Alex,
it was like human sized ants and flies, cows, cavemen,
scientists,
and scientists.
Yeah.
I mean, listen. Is Heathcliff a daily comic?
Yeah.
So like every day.
And Sundays, which is a bigger strip. Yeah.
Every day you need something. You're going to come up with a ham electric car. Like,
yeah, so what do these people go insane?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
But like, I'm looking at this thing, okay? It's just a little cat.
His name's Heathcliff.
Inside a ham with wheels, and it's like whirring like an electric car.
Uh-huh.
It's new, though. And it's the new electric
it's
ham.
It's just like a couple observing, being like, ah, it's a new electric ham.
That's it. Day's
That's
done.
It.
That's Tuesday.
Day's done.
I gotta get ready for Wednesday. Like, think about
congratulations,
that.
Congratulations, you just wrote a Primus song.
But think about that. You just made that. That's a new Electric Ham, and you gotta be like, shit, I gotta start thinking about tomorrow.
Tomorrow's. What's the Electric Ham for tomorrow?
He's gotta do it. I don't think he's knocking them out the night before. Come on.
No,
I don't
know.
Maybe he's a couple of days ahead. I don't know.
There's another really good one recently has been Nancy. There's been someone on Nancy for the last like 3 or 4 years. It's more than that now because this is pre-COVID.
Probably,
probably five or six years.
Yeah.
Yeah, COVID just erased, like, it doesn't, you know what I mean?
The last 3 years were 6 months. Yeah,
exactly.
And also a decade.
And the person who writes that now is like, she has a name, but it's a secret. It's like who she really is a secret. And there are old school Nancy fans that hate her because she's a millennial.
Yeah.
And it's filled with millennial jokes.
Like Nancy's taking selfies and shit, you know?
Right.
Nice.
And people hate it. But I think it's very funny.
I think
it's not as absurd as this.
Yes, but it is a more millennial style of humor, but it is, I think the jokes are actually good, is the thing.
Mm.
I agree. I'm not a big comic strip person, have feelings about some comic strips.
Trying to think of like a comic I really like I look forward to. Like Calvin and Hobbes was good.
Sure. We were supposed to.
Farside was good.
Farside was good.
Garfield was fine.
What's not the
Peanuts
Doomsbury one, but with the one with the penguin? That was like, it always seemed a little political also.
I don't know the little penguin that you're talking about.
Yeah,
You know what I like?
Yeah.
This is a safe space.
Yeah. What?
I like all the New Yorker cartoons.
All right, that's it. You're out. You're off the show.
Yeah, go for it.
I think they're good.
It's okay. You know?
Bloom County.
Yes, Bloom County.
With the cat. With Bill the cat.
Yeah, Bloom County was pretty good.
Growing up, the Boondocks was great, obviously, got its moment in the sun as a show also.
I feel like that was a little later. Like, that was, like, that must have come, was that, like, early 80s or was that
90s? No, that's
90s.
That's 90s.
Yeah, for me, it was I felt that was, like, a little later. I remember when that hit the strips or got syndicated in my local one. I was like, oh, wow, okay, this is edgier.
Wow, something
this
new.
Right, exactly. There was the old couple that was like life sucks or something.
Oh,
like,
I hated that. Lois, what is it? High and Lois?
I don't know. Cranky old people.
I hated that so much because it was like, get a divorce. What do you see in each other at this point? Just stop it. I also hated how they looked.
Be happy.
Yeah, go be happy.
The New Yorker cartoons, huh? Do you get a
collection? Yeah, man, I think they're good. I think,
That's not High and Lois. I don't remember their actual names. High and Lois is a different family.
Okay.
They seem very happy. They seem very happy
that
together.
High and Lois also sucked, though.
Is High and Lois the
reasons.
One with the little kid, the little baby? A baby?
There was a kid. I know that. I
like pickles or so. Like the pickle.
The
like,
pickles.
Something pickle, like pumpkin pie.
High and Lois, you don't need to get a divorce.
Okay.
Pickles
or do. I mean, I'm not here to stop you.
Pickles either.
Sure.
What is the name?
I do like that you posted those images in our group Discord, and Abby has chimed in to be like, basically, what the hell is going on here?
You summoned Abby to talk about Heathcliff.
Yeah.
Heathcliff's great.
Yeah. She's like, oh, I see we're talking Heathcliff. Like, okay. I always thought Heathcliff, I thought Garfield was all right, but I always thought Heathcliff was like tough and cool. Like,
that
Heathcliff,
was how the, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, like, you
Heathcliff
respect the meat tank.
Yes. Like Heathcliff had a gang. Like
right.
Heathcliff was like on the street.
He was dangerous.
Yeah, yeah. He was dangerous.
Had a posse.
Yes.
But and Garfield had attitude.
Garfield had attitude, but Garfield was lazy.
But he was always in like a pasta coma.
Yeah.
You know, like
that sounds all right though.
Yeah, it does. Like nowadays, like maybe I'm more Garfield than Heathcliff. Like I don't want to run a gang. I kind of want to lay in bed and like
eat some lasagna.
Just
eat some lasagna.
Wow, all this support after Garfield tried all those times to murder Nermal.
Listen, who's that?
I never
cat
liked Nermal.
Who's that cat from Heathcliff with the fun hat, like the beret? Do you remember that?
I do not.
There was the fancy cat.
There's a lot. I have a list up of like every active comic strip now. There's just so many.
Oh yeah, I bet.
There's dozens and dozens and dozens. I bet this is less than there's been in the past. I bet someone listening is like, you think this is a lot of comics?
Oh,
our industry used to mean something.
In the 70s.
Yeah, oh, exactly. Back when newspapers were around. Yeah,
exactly.
Do you think, how long, let's give it, I'm going to say 5 years. How long until we get, no, I'm going to say if newspapers are around, let's keep that, right? Newspapers are around.
Okay.
7 years until there's an AI-generated comic?
What do you mean? There's definitely already one.
Already syndicated?
It has to be. Oh, in syndication.
Yeah, in syndication.
Yeah, but like, what does syndication even mean? Like,
this is where we find out that Rex Morgan, MD, has been written by a computer for the last 15 years.
I bet it'll happen in writing before it happens in art. Because I bet the art, you know what I mean? I bet it's bet it's like that'll get past the, people might pick up the bad fingers on the art, you know?
So you're saying the text bubbles, the bubbles
the
will be...
The Lockhorns.
The Lockhorns.
Get a divorce.
Oh, get a divorce. The Lockhorns.
I mean, they're called the Lockhorns.
Yeah.
I remember not liking the Lockhorns. It's no Beetle Bailey.
Beetle Bailey might be a little before my time. I think
it's no Family Circus, that's for sure.
There's no way that's before your time. I was reading that shit, and I'm younger
Beetle
than
Bailey?
You.
Isn't Beetle Bailey?
Yeah, Beetle
like
Bailey.
A...
It was right up there with Andy Capp.
Uh-huh.
Okay, the Lockhorns, yes, the Lockhorns is like a 50s or 60s style comic that went on too long.
That's exactly right. It's like a Honeymooners bit,
yes,
you know what
yes.
I mean?
Yeah.
I was doing a weekly comic at CNET for like a year.
Did it
Were
get
you?
Printed?
You guys know that?
What?
Wait, well, how can is we it? Find these?
Why are you only just now bringing this up in this conversation?
Wait,
why
what
do
would
I feel
have
like
to search
bring,
for?
Why do I feel like you bringing it to us this way is a trap to get us to admit we never read it?
Oh, I am positive you never read it. I'm not worried
about
that.
Wait, what's the name of it?
If I had known about it, I would have read it.
Yeah.
It was called Low Latency.
Okay. It was everything spelled the right way?
Yep.
Okay.
Is it available?
I don't know if you could still find it. I hope there's a way to like... fuck.
Oh, looks like they're bringing it back.
Oh my God.
No, really?
Do not.
Oh, wow. Here you Scott go. Adams is doing it.
Low Latency comic collection 2012 to present.
Wow, look at that. Is this every single one? I guess we did 120 of
oh
them?
My gosh, look at this. Who drew it?
So Blake Stevenson, uh-huh. who you all know, he did he's done a bunch of work for Giant Bomb over the years. He did the Beastcast shirt. He did both Beastcast. How many Beastcast shirts were there?
A couple.
There was a couple. The mug, he did the mug in the shirt, I think.
He
right?
did the mug. Yeah. He did the chest logo one, mm-hmm. like the breast pocket logo uh-huh, one, uh-huh. and I think he did the Never Been a Better Time one as well.
Huh.
Yeah, he and I would write these comics, and they were just like stupid.
Uh-huh.
Sure.
And about like, you know, making fun of like iPad warranties and stuff.
This one's about the death of the cable box. HBO's blowing up the cable box.
There you go.
That's fun.
When was the... What? I guess we did it for like, I don't know, a year or so, 2 years.
Where's your photo of you being the cartoonist, like you standing at a sketchboard, sitting at a sketchboard, like drawing your magnum opus?
No, we didn't. It wasn't like that. It was weird. Like we pitched the idea and they were like, oh, please do this every week. And they never really like figured out a way to like
do anything with it.
Yeah, you know, as it goes.
Oh, this one's busted on the iPad too.
Oh my God, this is every single one. I should just download all these just
definitely.
To, like, just for
what's
posterity.
The first one, let's see here. Wait, the first one's just broken.
No, the first one's about
oh, I see. Wait, is the first
wow,
one
you really did have
about
a bunch
Occupy?
Of these.
It's Occupy Mushroom
this
Kingdom.
This is a trip.
Wow. Very wow. funny.
Okay.
Can we link this in the show notes, Vinny?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Low latency.
No.
low latency. This is gonna be the most traffic scene. Where I'm giving scene at this traffic. They have to come advertise with us.
You know, it's funny because it's like it's very much a time capsule.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
CES
where you're
2013.
Just like, what the fuck is this even talking about? Yeah. Like,
I mean, it's
this
not
Nook one is pretty funny. I like this Nook one.
It's not a true time capsule though until we find the one 9/11 memorial strip that you wrote.
Oh,
because every comic strip has one of those, and they're always so goofy.
Man,
I found one of someone holding a PS Vita.
Okay. Oh yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Is this an
wow, it's wild how his art changed too,
yeah,
which
yeah.
is really neat.
That's funny. Yeah. This is cool. Right. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, of course.
Why am I just finding out about this?
It's only been a decade.
This is very funny to me because it has become the thing that you're doing here was extremely true at the time. I'm about to post it, but now has changed because of COVID, which is you have an image of two people looking out a window at a night sky. One of them says, "If this doesn't go viral, I don't know what will." And there's a QR code printed on the moon. They're looking at the moon and there's a big QR code. And in 2013 or whatever, that shit was everywhere and no one cared. Nope. And this year, there are Super Bowl commercials with QR codes in them.
And everyone
people have just
hates
picked
them.
It up. But yeah. but they no, use them now.
They are, dude, we owe QR codes an apology. They were the punchline to every joke. For years, and like they are arguably the most like useful thing. Dude, think about how many times you scan one, not ironically.
I'm trying to scan this one, but I think it's fake.
Yeah, this is probably
fake. Oh,
wait,
nope. It goes somewhere. Uh-oh.
Where's it go?
It goes to a QR generator. A QR code generator.
Okay, thank
which
God.
Is still it up, which still works, yeah.
Which
incredible.
Is wild. Yeah. No, yeah, for sure.
I don't scan
them.
We were
really ahead
much.
Of our time, you know. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What's that, Vinny?
I don't scan QR codes that much. I'm just gonna.
I feel like when I go out to dinner, there's the menu.
You go out.
Instructions on how to like do build a thing that I bought on Amazon.
I bought
something.
A card game today on Indiegogo that doesn't ship with an instruction manual. It ships with a QR code that you scan because they're like, we want to make sure it'll always be the most up to date instruction manual.
Yeah, you don't waste paper. You know, I get it.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wait. Yeah. I have to talk about something else because I don't know the next time I was going to see Alex and I wanted to do this on the air.
Uh-oh.
Alex.
Am I dying? What's happening?
Mm-hmm. No.
This is your
the
life.
The opposite.
Oh. You're pregnant? Congratulations.
I finally did it.
Okay.
I bought an electronic drum kit.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
You did. You are 41.
Oh, so, dude, the funniest thing was like, I wanted this for my 40th birthday.
Uh-huh, of course you did.
Stacy's like, no, fuck you. What do you mean? Like, you can't have this. Like, it's going to be so loud and you're stupid and you're probably not going to be good. And I just don't want to hear you play the drums, you idiot. And I was like, these are all fair points. Mm. But I really want this. A year goes by. And, I think like one day she like caught me like watching like a YouTube video on drum kits. And she's like, I feel bad. You should have just gotten it for your 40th. Like, go buy it. Go get it. And I got it.
What'd you get?
I got a Roland TK-26. I don't know. Something like that.
Something like that.
Is it all hooked up?
Oh, it's all hooked up, baby.
Are you making funny sounds, or what are you doing?
Oh, I'm using it. It's awesome.
Is it plugged into this computer? Can you just tell us with a little drum fill?
Oh, that's not going to happen right now. But I can record myself playing. What I wanted to get to talk to you, Alex, about.
So
it's a TK-27 V2.
27 V2. Okay.
Yeah, 27K V2. So I was always able to keep a beat behind a kit. And I don't know what that is. I played guitar for a long time.
Okay, this is not too dissimilar from the one I have.
Okay. Oh, you have a virtual kit too?
Oh, so I'm still using the drums from that custom kit that guy made for me some years ago, Dustin Morabito. But like, I bought a new cymbal set and a new kick pad. And basically, I bought a new kit. I'm just using the drums that he originally made for me, and I'm just all the other parts are part of that kit. So I have the pads. With if these ever break for any reason, I can just swap
them
in.
That's cool.
Yeah, mine is, I think, the 17KV, but it's pretty similar. You just have a slightly, like, your snare drum is bigger, and, like, you, I think you have bigger
cymbals. Yeah, it's like a full-size snare.
Yeah.
It's like a 14-inch snare.
Yeah.
And the module is the TK-27, which is pretty good so far. So here's what I'm getting at, and I just have to, like, say this out loud. I haven't said this out loud yet. I've said it to Stacy, and she's sort of like, okay.
Just say it.
I'm not a prodigy by any stretch, but there's something weird where, like, I started playing drums, and it's like, I'm, like, not bad, out of the gate. Like, it's not like I bought a midlife crisis drum kit and I'm just like smacking all these things and like not knowing like what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
And you're pretty good.
No. It's just like, I think what it is like, I just, you know, I listen to a lot of music and there's no way to talk about this without sounding like a total fucking asshole.
I'm able to cut through the sheer amount of hubris coming out of your mouth right now and understand what you're actually trying to say.
What I'm saying is like,
tell everyone the meat tank is back.
I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is, but like, I'm just not bad. Like, I took a video. I took it, and like,
I don't think that's surprising.
Stacey walked in and she's like, you know how to play drums? And I'm like, I guess so.
Look,
now here's the thing. Okay. There's a lot of things that I like might have done fucked up with like 20 years of just like air drumming. Uh-huh. Okay. I taught myself how to play drums open handed. Okay.
What's that mean?
So
for
my left hand. My left hand is my hi-hat.
Oh, so you play left or right hand is basically what you're saying.
And my right hand is my snare.
Okay.
So the ride cymbal I have almost like over my hi-hat.
Yeah, that's a standard, like for a left-handed drummer, that's how they do it.
Right, but I'm a right-hand dominant person playing
lefty,
almost left-handed, if that makes sense.
And
are you worried it's going to fuck you up
with this?
No. Okay. I just think it's it. I
it
just
works
think it's weird.
Because congratulations, you lucked into what actually might be one of the most comfortable ways to play drums that most people can't because they're
right-hand
dominant.
Because crossing over sucks. Yeah. Like, right? People historically, right-handed people use their dominant hand to hit the hi-hat.
Yes.
And use their left hand for the snare. But I just sort of like didn't, I just didn't do that.
You just refused to learn the way everyone else did.
Yeah, it's very weird. Anyway,
why don't
I'm loving
just move
it.
Move where the drum is.
It's
if it's uncomfortable.
I think like
why not?
It's
yeah,
not
but
that
I think
it's
like,
uncomfortable. It's just that okay. Like basically the really quick and dirty version of this is that if you are left-handed and you are using your left hand for writing and for hi-hats, it either you reverse the kit, which some people do, and that's the way they like it. Or you're like a, you know, a Carter Buford type and you're just like, I just put everything over here. But also he's multidextrous to a certain degree.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
A lot like
I've seen those videos.
There's a lot of like multidexterity that goes on in when it comes to those kinds of positioning. So for me, I could never do it that way. It would just never feel comfortable if I wasn't doing the crossover. Like it's just the way the kit makes sense to me, but it's also the way I was taught. And so by not learning anything, you have stumbled ass backwards into a method that might actually help aid you in playing better without lessons. You've just found a way to be comfortable that just isn't the standard way.
I wouldn't have it any other
way. Are you doing like digital lessons? Are you watching YouTube tutorials? Are you just playing?
You got a Drumeo subscription? What are we doing?
Mm-hmm. No. So,
Heart of the Drums.
Rock Band.
No, I just have like a Spotify playlist that I just sort of like feel like out of the gate I would just understand how they're played because I just know like what everything sounds like, right? Like I know what sounds like hi-hats open and closed. I know what a kick sound is, and like the crashes I'm just sort of winging it. I'm just sort of like, all right, well,
you and every other
and the
drummer.
Beautiful the beautiful thing with the module is you can like change the sound of any of the crash cymbals. So I'm like, oh, this doesn't sound like what the music I play sounds like. I can tweak that and now it sounds the way I want it to sound.
This sounds pretty good. I mean, but what if instead of a crash sound, it played the entire Dragnet rap from the end of the movie Dragnet as a sound? Dude,
that's why this digital shit is so fantastic, because it's just like, and it sounds so good.
Yeah.
Like I have this amp next to it and it just sounds insane. And I play the music through it and I like follow along and, yeah, like
I love this for you. This is exciting.
Yeah, just, this is great.
It feels so good.
Like you do sound like a Jedi about to fall into being a Sith.
Someone's about to tell you the tale of Darth Plagueis. Yes.
Yeah, 100%. But
it's real fun because like it's a very I find it to be a really good stress reliever. I find it to be a really good sort of like decompression mechanism. You know. It's a good way to end the day. And I play for like 90 minutes at a time now. I'm sure I'll sort of like taper off as the
honeymoon. Oh, ride that wave as long as your wife will let you. Because let me tell you right now, I have to beg for one night a week where I could just fucking go for a while.
Go nuts? Yeah.
I mean,
like,
I'm sure
I'll get banished to the basement at some point as well, but right now it's not there.
And look, don't feel weird about the fact that you feel like you've lucked into not being terrible out of the gate. Like, some people just have a little bit of affinity toward basic beat stuff and also maybe already have a little bit of built-in limb independence, you know? Like, so,
I think it's just the thing that I don't want to say out loud, but I'm just going to say out loud, is air drumming help? Me? Has that helped me?
It probably didn't hurt
doing
you.
That for literally 25 years of just like hearing music and being like, oh, I guess that's what like they're doing with the kick. And like,
I mean, look, I'm not putting you on tour with Rush or anything, but yeah, I'm sure, you know, you could probably carry a tune if you needed to.
All right. Well, my new dad band is getting together this weekend. If you want to come see us,
low latency. It's on tour. You should go hook up your Rock Band drums. Do you not have Rock Band drums anymore?
I don't have Rock Band.
Well, no, you do. You just need to go pay $1,200 for the out of print adapter to make it happen.
Yeah. Oh, fuck that. That ship has sailed.
I don't know. I don't know. Alex, like, I was always like this. If I were playing drums, the Rock Band stuff always seemed good enough to be like, you could have fun with it if you're competent with it.
But I bought that adapter at retail price. So, you know, I worked out okay. Yeah. No one should pay whatever they're charging for it now.
Backler, that's awesome. I want to hear you. What song would you, if I would like, send me something, what song would you play it to?
Probably Drain You by Nirvana.
Okay, sure. Yeah. And
it's all the 90s stuff that has been like the first to play.
Yeah.
Like, well, it's all
something you've been
that
playing in your head for decades now.
Yeah.
Right.
And now there's like a few ghost songs I can do, but like, I mean, obviously those bands are like, the drummers are very talented.
You're saying Dave Grohl is a hack.
No, yeah. Not at all. Yeah. I just, you know, I think a lot, from what I gather, watching the amount of videos, like a lot of people learn their chops with Nirvana stuff.
Uh-huh. Do they have like karaoke style drum stuff where the drums are out and you could just kind of play along, or do you just play along with the drums in the back?
I haven't really noodled around with that so much. I've definitely watched videos where I've learned stuff and been able to like implement that in what I'm playing. Like, I didn't realize that, like, for the most part, every time you hit a cymbal crash, you're like also accompanying that with a kick. Like, I didn't really realize that was like a thing. Right, so once you learn that, I think you kind of like understand how a lot of that works. And I think for me, the limb independent stuff was like sort of easy to pick up. There's like a lot of hi-hat stuff that I don't understand and I need to learn like how that works. And but, you know, the hi-hat that came with my kit is that new Roland one with the, it's like the one they just came out with that's like really, really true to life, and I find it to be really fun to mess around with, and it's sick. That stuff is so much fun.
That's awesome. I can't wait until the next time we get together and you tell us about your Corvette. And,
oh my God.
Like,
dude, this
guys,
is...
I just like, I don't know. I could take these turns at like 90. It's just like, it's...
I get it. And you know what? I'm going to Turkey and I'm getting hair. Okay. I'm doing the trip. Yes. Okay.
I mortgaged the house. I bought a fire truck.
It's 25K cheaper in Turkey than it is here.
25,000 cheaper?
Mm-hmm. No, but like, I have relatives who've done
that's a deal.
It's incredibly cheap. I don't think it's 25K. I think it's like 15K cheaper.
Still, much is it for the hair? How much is it for hair? You say 15?
If you want
it cheaper,
to look good, if you want like what Ben Affleck has, you gotta go.
Ben Affleck
to,
he got some hair.
Oh,
guys,
dude.
Okay.
Oh, brother.
All right. I think my ship has sailed. I think.
No, I mean, it'd be so sick if one day you just like showed up with like.
Took the hat off and it was just like boof.
Flowing lungs.
Yeah. You're just Brad.
Yeah.
And, like, that'd be so sick.
Like, you guys didn't know. No, I just. The hat's been on for a while. Stuff has been going on under there.
Trying to figure out what would be more jarring if you showed up with a full head of hair or like a Bam Bam Bigelow like fire tattoo on your skull.
Fire tattoo.
Oh, yes.
Probably the hair.
Yeah,
think.
Yeah, actually, yeah.
Probably the hair.
I guess this is the most midlife crisis bullshit I've ever done.
Which
right?
is low on the record. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, I bought a skateboard. Of it? Like, we're all operating pretty low below the median in terms of dumb shit you can do.
I got, you see I all these Transformers so behind me?
Yeah. I do.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
You had those for a while, though, Vinny.
It's been a long, I'm older than you guys. Oh, so
midlife is really stretching out here.
Hey, Alex has a proton pack. That's
I did buy a proton pack. I
Hasbro one?
Yeah.
Yes.
That one's sick. I was kind
of
jealous.
That
one
was awesome. Not bought a proton pack. Throw the first proton beam.
That's right. That's right. We're just all at the age now where maybe you're like, I wanted the thing I wanted when I was 12, and now I can buy it. Like arcade machines, electronic drum. Ooh. Like, who didn't go into a Sam Ash and sit at the electronic drum kit and be like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to sit here and play with this
thing. They're so good now.
Oh, yeah.
Like, but like, this thing knows when your hand is on the snare, and it grounds out the snare part and will do like a rim like sound.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
the technology built in those things is super impressive now.
It's sick. And you can still grab the cymbals and like stop and choke them. Like,
do you think you'd ever get a real drum set if you're like a real kit?
My buddy, who lives about 15 minutes away has an acoustic kit. I played on that, but like, it's too loud.
Too loud.
I don't want that shit.
Yeah.
I want to be able to turn the volume down on that.
Heavy and very loud, and they're not easy to put away.
If it's too loud, turn it down.
that's
the rock star sentiment.
Hell yeah!
All right, let's wrap this thing up. We ain't getting any younger. Thank you very much, Jeff Bacalar.
Of course.
Happy 41. There you
Thanks.
Go.
Thanks. Yeah, it's coming up.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Austin Walker, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Alex Navarro.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Never Been a Better Podcast, and I can say once again, we have kept true to form and never been a better podcast. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks for supporting us. We'll be back next month with some more fantastic folks for a fantastic podcast. See you, everybody.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.